Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Coming up on today's podcast, during this coronavirus crisis, help for those with job and employment worries. It's EV News Daily. Welcome to a Saturday special. We do these at the weekends. During the week, we bring you the news. And if we can, on a Saturday, I always love to bring you interviews with people in and around the electric vehicle, the sustainable industries. But what about placing people for jobs in those industries? And goodness, with everything happening at the moment, wouldn't it be good to have people on tap to ask questions to about employment, recruitment, job finding, job hunting, how to be match ready if you get an interview, but you have to do it remotely, all of those kind of things. And I'm delighted to say one of the premium partners of the podcast is Bright Smith Group for Clean Tech Talent. And we are joined on the podcast today. And, you know, fingers crossed, all of this technology works. I won't lie, this is not the first time that we've tried to record this call. We are joined by Tommy Bright, Adam Smith, and Jenny Gladman. Welcome to the podcast. Adam, if you can kick us off, we just introduce us to Bright Smith, because, you yourselves, it's a pretty new company that you've put together. Just tell us about what you do.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. So we have over 40 years of experience within the recruitment industry, helping organisations identify, attract and retain today's best talent. For us as an organisation, our mission is to work with companies who are passionate about creating a cleaner future through technology. And so we focus across a number of verticals, those being future mobility, energy storage, sustainability, and also smart city solutions.
Jenny, just explain how you've worked. You know, you've worked together in the past, and the kind of relationships that you've had. You've all been working in recruitment for a long time now, right?
Yeah. So I actually worked with Tommy and Adam just over a decade ago, and then we went our various separate ways, both geographically and with different organisations. But the whole time since then, I have been working in recruitment, but in a number of different roles and also various different types of recruitment. But yeah, very recently, a big focus on technology.
Tommy, just bring us up to speed on when did the current situation, you're London based, so just, I mean, what's your own personal story? How did it, you know, when did you pack up and start working from home?
We, like everyone, was kind of going day by day and not thinking it was quite as bad as it was. But yeah, we got to the point that we were having discussions in the morning saying, right, are we going in? Are we going in on Monday? And then we decided it was just best that we started working from home, and literally made that decision a few days later. It looked like everyone was starting to do the same. So, but I think everyone's been caught, you know, not knowing the full story. Everyone's been caught in this and only been taking it day by day. It's very hard to be on top of it.
You have two sets of people that you work for. You work for people who you are finding jobs in the EV and the clean tech and the industries that you mentioned at the start of the podcast today. So you work for them, but you also work for the people who are looking for talent and executive talent and looking for the right people to fill the right roles. So although this is rapidly developing at this point in time, what's your take on the situation?
As Tommy says, every day things have evolved, you know, and a week, you know, last week was probably one of the longest weeks I've had in recruitment. I think from a client perspective, we have noticed a downturn in vacancies. Some organisations have had to put some of the vacancies on hold. Also, availability of clients and candidates, the whole dynamic has changed now. So from a client perspective, we're supporting organisations now in terms of how they engage with any prospective employees. We're consulting with them in terms of how they can onboard prospective employees. And also from a candidate perspective, that kind of uncertainty, it has put some people's jobs at risk. You know, some people have been made redundant, but then also there are a lot of people where it is very much business as usual, but they have to get used to working from home. And it might be that they had the benefit of working from home one or two days a week. But, you know, being faced with working from home indefinitely is really challenging. You know, I know that. I've got two young sons, so we're now trying to find a balance between doing their homeschooling. I always work better with routine, and so it's kind of thrown all of that up in the air. So we're now trying to kind of, you know, get a new routine and a way of working, even for ourselves as a business and individuals.
What runs through your mind, Adam, in terms of being a new business and how you navigate this process till we get to whatever the new normal is?
I think for us as an organisation, it's an opportunity for us to think about how we can really help our clients and our candidates, and to think creatively in order to find solutions that work for both. So the best thing about being a small agency and being boutique is that we know our market and we know our space. You're dealing with the individuals that make decisions. We, you know, we're not a large corporate firm, so we've got plenty of flexibility. All of our clients know that we're very invested in the industry and we're very invested in their business.
Jen, if we can come to you next, in terms of people, this whole space that you work in is lots and lots of small, passionate communities. So how are you supporting those communities that you work with?
I think one of the first things to say is we know that this has impacted everyone in a very, very different way. So it is very much on a case-by-case basis. But what we did do is kind of sit and evaluate what are the things that people are asking us, what are the main concerns that they're having. And to be honest, in the main, they tend to mirror our concerns and our current situations, be they different. But a big focus for us is how do we continue to have confidence in this situation, in ourselves during these difficult times, and also how can we eliminate stress, or reduce stress perhaps is a better way of putting it. So a few of the things that we've done is work with people around how to have a positive mindset. It sounds straightforward, it's not, but I think it's been proven time and time again that having a positive mindset has huge physical and mental benefits. And as Adam was saying, we're all confined to our houses, some of which are far more stressful than others. I think I'm fairly fortunate to only have the stress of dealing with a small puppy who doesn't need any homeschooling. But I know for a lot of people right now, this is a very, very challenging time. So we're working with people on that basis, but also thinking about kind of, I guess, staying confident in who you are and your ability, whether that's to succeed in your current role or if you are in an unfortunate position that you are out of work. Then how do you keep confidence in your ability to perform in the next role? And I know it's a bit of a cliched saying, but the dress for the job you want. Thankfully, we're no longer filming this because I'm certainly not dressed for the job that I want. Painting and decorating is not my forte. However, I would say, as much as, yeah, I'm not a big believer in that saying, I think kind of acting as if you have the confidence that you wish you had sometimes really goes a long way. And also, if you are at home, you know, make the setup appropriate for what you're doing, be that an interview or a Zoom call with your colleagues. You know, you want to make sure that you get out of bed in the morning, you do get dressed, you have a walk around the block, whatever it is that you can do in the setup that you've got, but put your best foot forward. And also make sure, and I think extremely importantly for us, is don't go it alone. So speak to your colleagues, speak to your family, talk to whoever it is that you need to, and ask for help. You know, no one has to be alone in this situation, and everybody is different. And I think one of the things that we're extremely keen to do with the community, and we'd like to start this early next week, is have a couple of hours a day where our lines are entirely open to someone, whether they're looking for a job, whether they just want to inquire about kind of how we work or how we might be able to support them, whether they just need a little bit of encouragement, we can be there for that. Or if it's something that's specific and they want to book in a time to talk to us about how to improve their CV, how to improve their online presence on their LinkedIn, or also, and very, I guess, very poignantly, how to conduct a video interview in what can be a fairly stressful environment. As we were saying, this is probably take number 10 due to various different software, children, cat and dog issues we've had so far. So yeah, how to navigate that and set it up in the best way you possibly can.
This week, I've had to make sure that I have all the various, because I tend to work from, a lot of time I work from home anyway, but if I was doing a meeting, I'd go and see them. Like, I've been to see you guys at your offices in London, and it's just easier. It's just easier to talk sometimes face-to-face, and especially if I can drive an electric car there and I know that I've charged on renewable energy I don't feel bad about, or if I can use public transport. This week, I've had to make sure that all the different apps are installed on my computer, and yet today we tried a new one, and we thought, we'll try filming it, and then that didn't work. That's stressful, and so we've gone back to... Well, actually, right now, we're recording this on a kind of a joint Zoom call, but... What advice would you have for someone, Jenny, who is not used to doing that video call aspect? Because a lot of interviews, even onboarding, will be done remotely. So is there anything you can do to get more comfortable, to be more confident? Any tips that you've got kind of in front of the camera? Any practice tips maybe?
I think particularly, actually, you were saying about practice tips. Actually, do some video calls with people that you're used to talking to in real life is a definite winner. I think actually the way that I've worked over the last few years has meant I got hugely used to them because I was managing teams in multiple locations, but I found it strange at the start as well. And then actually once you end up talking to people, you know, on a frequent basis on video calls, you do get very used to it. But I would also say the setup that you've got around you, if you can be somewhere quiet, be somewhere quiet. If you can dress for the interview, which I think hopefully most of us have access to our wardrobes, if nothing else, do dress for the interview. But also, and I think, you know, be honest, if you're in a situation that you've got two kids in the next room that might come in, just let the interviewer know that at the start. And everybody is being very, very accommodating. Everyone's in the same boat and we're all kind of here to support each other. So the expectations are a little bit different. Yeah, definitely practice. And that's one of the things that we're totally happy to do on those, the hotline that we're offering is either do calls on the phone, or if you would like to do video calls, and if that's practicing a video interview, then we're totally, totally happy to do that with you as well.
Tommy, what's the current state of the market at the moment from your perspective?
It's just up in the air. So it's going to be a few weeks before we really know, maybe even months before we really know the true fallout of this and how much of an instant bounce back or how long this is going to go on for. The issue at the moment is which companies are going to adapt quickly to the new norm. So some companies will adapt very quickly to this, especially companies that are used to remote workers, companies that are well-funded. They will adapt quickly. Some other companies will find it really tough because they've had their ways of working and will find this a real struggle. And obviously it depends on the industry and it depends on the job role. But at the moment it's happened all so fast that jobs have been pulled, jobs have been put on hold. Some companies are suffering more than others. And it definitely has had a massive effect, but it really is too early to say what that means, what that looks like in 6 months.
Certainly some of the sectors that you work with, the listeners of this show are really interested in. How can people ensure that they become aware of the jobs that are out there? Because there are some, as you say, fast moving industries that are reacting to this new way of working.
Yeah. And again, there are still people recruiting in numbers at the moment. What I would say is, for people out there that are at home, a bit like in every part of their life, there are jobs now that you might be able to get done that you weren't doing before. I fixed a gate the other day, which has been bugging me for about 4 months, and I finally fixed it. Feel happy about that. But it's just a job I could have done, but I found other priorities. When you look at, for instance, your social media presence, particularly LinkedIn, if you want to be seen in this market, be not necessarily an influencer, but be known in this market, I think now is the time for things like LinkedIn, getting your social media presence up, networking to come to the forefront. People should be really focusing on this. And again, this is something that we can give a hell of a lot of advice around, and happy to talk to people about the best ways to do this, because for some people it's completely natural and for others it isn't. But really, if you can get to the point that people are contacting you, people are asking you for opinions, and you just know more people, that is your the best thing you can do at the moment. Because it's very hard to say when you look online, there might be jobs advertised, but it doesn't mean those jobs are necessarily going to be there at the moment. They might be, they might not. So just relying on purely I'll apply for jobs probably isn't enough.
Let's come back to Adam, actually. And Adam, before all of this started, and it seems like it's been going on forever and it's only really been a couple of weeks in some countries, but if someone's sitting at home listening to this podcast now and they, for a while, they've had a feeling like, I want a new job. And then at the minute, all of this is going on and they're, you know, people are probably thinking, you know, have I got any chance of changing? Am I going to have to put my life on hold for 4 months? So, Adam, what are your tips for people who already had in their head, I'm going to be looking for a job? Surely all of this crisis at the minute doesn't mean they have to put their whole life on pause. They can start to do things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at all times, you can only control the things that are in your control. So ultimately, you know, there isn't a huge amount that you can do as an individual about the number of vacancies available out there or an organization's confidence in making a hire. But it's not so binary that everybody was recruiting 2 weeks ago and now nobody is recruiting. There are organizations and companies out there looking for talent. And so if you were considering your next move, you know, you absolutely should still be thinking about how to do that. This actually, like Tommy says, might provide an opportunity for you to think about, okay, what is my online brand? How does that look? How do I make myself known to recruiters within my space? And what are the things that I can do to put myself in the best possible position to secure my next job? And next week, myself, Jenny and Tommy, we will be, if you follow us on LinkedIn, whether that be our company or us as individuals, we will be releasing tips around what you can do to build your brand in terms of what you can do when it comes to nailing communication now, which is going to be either over video or your written communication, and how you really make the most of these opportunities, because there are some opportunities now. For example, if you're now in a video interview, your preparation is really key. And actually, you can take your preparation, as I might have here, whether it be on my pad or my pen, and you can really use that to come across and put your best foot forward in an interview. Now, that's quite hard to do when you're face-to-face. So there's lots of opportunities and things that you can now kind of capitalise on. And it's, I think, just for the most part, trying to stay as positive as possible. And like I say, these challenges that we now face, it's just kind of getting ahead of that. So we'll be helping and supporting people next week with our top tips around it.
Adam, as well, can I ask you about networking? It's something that you spoke to me about a sort of breakfast catch-up the other week, and you were saying that actually forming a network of people, I mean, that networking is a bit of a dirty phrase in some people's minds, but in terms of having a network of people, even like a support group, if you like, is a really, really important thing in certain industries. And in all the industries that you place people, then it seems even more important, because you're not just finding, you know, another role when there's, you know, 10,000 of these people doing that job, and then you're just looking for another one. Some of these roles are, you know, are pretty niche in some cases. And so what can people do, Adam, to increase their network during this time of staying at home and lockdown, if you like?
So there are some things that you can do. You can start to follow organisations and follow key influencers within your industry. You want to make sure really that you're using the language of your industry in terms of how your profile is coming across on tools like LinkedIn. I think it's important more than ever to kind of keep your finger on the pulse and also keep interested and invested. I think it's quite easy to just almost fall out of the loop of what's kind of happening. And I think these things are quite healthy, actually. So I would kind of encourage people to be, you know, listening to the EV News Daily podcast, following prominent people on LinkedIn, liking and sharing content that's being put out there that's relevant to you and your market and your space. And, you know, having a view yourself in terms of what's happening. You know, the world hasn't stopped. I think this is very much like a moment in time. And I think once everybody kind of just gets used to this situation, I do think then confidence will come back. Like you say, you know, we're moving very, you know, often very senior, talented, highly skilled individuals. And they are integral to any organisation's success. And those companies will be needing those.
Before we go, Jenny, something that I know that that all of you actually at Brightsmith are very, very keen on. You are a purpose-driven company, and I meet a lot of people like this. Having started this EV project a couple of years ago, and then the podcast and all those kind of things, I meet people who are really passionate and very motivated and very driven, and they're all about the purpose. I know you guys are as well, and it's why you've chosen these industries, you know, to work in. And when you are purpose-driven, you can't switch that on and off. You either you feel it or you don't. And if you feel it, you want to get on with it. But we're all being told to kind of pause at the moment as well. So that must be quite hard for people who are passionate, they're purpose driven, like, you know, like we all are. This huge pause button that's been pressed. So what can people do that they do feel strongly about something to upskill in the meantime?
I would say one of the first things to look at is some online courses. And actually what we can do is share next week. We've been collecting a number of free online courses, things that were previously courses you had to pay for, and organisations wanting to keep people busy at home and give them an opportunity to learn and develop themselves are offering a lot of really interesting courses for free. Whether that's something that's totally tied to your day job or not, I still think there's kind of huge value in taking a course and furthering yourself and developing yourself. And whether that's because you have some extra time because you're perhaps less busy in your current role, or if you're actually looking for a role, people really appreciate someone who takes time out to improve themselves and add value to their skill set. And I would say I'm a firm believer, and it's not always the skills you've got, but it's something that you want to learn and something that you're passionate about that really makes a difference. Another thing I would say is try something new, and don't be afraid to kind of share what your thoughts and feelings are on the current situation. I actually wrote a blog this morning, basically on this topic, after having sat and thought about, you know, what do we need to help the community with? What are we helping them with? And we will post that either later today or on Monday, depending on if the weather holds out and allows me to build a shed this afternoon. another very, very new skill for me. And yeah, I think continuing to read, continuing to write, making sure that you're really staying in touch with people who might be in your network. And I guess we're a perfect example of people that had gone our separate ways, but really made an effort to keep in touch with one another. And yeah, as I say, I'm very fortunate to have made the Brightsmith duo a trio by doing exactly that.
Well, good luck with the shed. fingers crossed the weather holds out. But before we go, Tommy, people who have heard me talk about you on the podcast for the last few weeks now know the name, but they might not know how to get hold of you. So what's the best way that people can find out about what you do? Maybe connect with you online as well. So even if they're not looking for a job at the moment, but they just want to just connect and just say like, hey, I'm here. What's the best way that people can contact all three of you, Tommy?
Look, LinkedIn, we're all obviously on LinkedIn and we've quite a big presence on LinkedIn. You've got our website there that you can send your CV through our website, or our number, all our details are on our website. And as we say, we're happy to speak to people, whatever situation they're in, whether that is just for advice, to give them some market info, to talk them through different things they can be doing to elevate themselves at the moment, anytime. But particularly, we're saying next week between 10 and 12, we're happy to speak to people about these issues.
Well, look, thank you so much for giving up your time before the weekend. So I really appreciate your time, guys. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.